Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, August 28th, 2014. And with me today, I have two of our tech industry luminaries, John Modellaro.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. And Brian Chaffin. I hope you're doing well, Brian.
I am. And I am also luminous.
You are.
So you're also the maestro, too. See, if Kelly is the wizard and I am the guru, you must be the maestro.
I'll accept overlord.
that too.
No, I'm humble that way.
And that's why we love you, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just suddenly have this image in my head of you wearing your overlord outfit and like an infinity gauntlet thing, and it's you're a very pimp looking overlord.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but I digress. Okay, so this morning, while we were having our usual morning meeting with all of our writers, Apple started sending out their invitations to the September 9th media event. So it's no longer the supposed event, the all but confirmed event. It's actually really happening. And yes, we will be there. Dave Hamilton is going to be on location. And so it should be a pretty cool thing. And it's at the Flint Center, which is where Apple also introduced the original iMac.
That is interesting and kind of makes me wonder why the heck they haven't done these events at the Flint Center before, having finally actually seen the Flint Center.
Yeah, well, there are certainly a lot more seats than they have at other venues.
Well, yeah, it's not so nowhere the Flint Center is a theater. The Moscone Auditoriums, where a lot of these Moscone West Auditoriums, where a lot of these events take place, is not really an auditorium. It's certainly not to the extent that it's not a theater. I mean, certainly not to the extent that the Flint Center is. Flint Center is about 1,000 times more comfortable, but it's probably not quite as big as the Moscone West.
I thought it was a little bit bigger, but I have never been there.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I've been in both. We did the Macworld All Star Band played at the Mac the 30th anniversary event that was held earlier this year,
and that was at the Flint Center.
Yeah. It's a great venue. It's a fantastic venue.
Brian, we think the iWatch is going to be announced at that time too, right?
Yeah, John Pakowski said it was going to be announced, right. And that's pretty much good enough for me.
What does that tell us? We'd always thought that the iWatch was going to be something along the lines of jewelry, something that you could buy even if you didn't have an iPhone, for those few people who don't.
I never thought of it as jewelry.
Well, I think it's going to be – I think of the iPhone almost as jewelry, especially with a sapphire display. If that
might be marketed, they might be wanting to market it like jewelry, but that doesn't mean any, whatever. Tomato, tomato. You just said we have always thought it was the jewelry, and yeah. I did not.
Okay, fair enough. Well, what does that convergence of the two technologies tell us? Anything about timing, about Christmas timing, about the relationship between the iWatch and the iPhone 6? Well, that's what's on my mind this morning.
It tells me that that there's probably going to be a very tight integration between the devices. But knowing how Apple creates their products, I'm betting that whatever their wearable device is, it will also work as a standalone product. Unlike Galaxy Gear, that's an accessory.
It'll probably work just fine as a standalone device, but you'll be able to get more functionality out of it when paired with either an iPhone or even a Mac.
Right. Yeah. Much like having an Apple TV. It's a mm-hmm. great product on its own, but if you have a Mac or an iPhone or an iPad, it suddenly becomes a much cooler product.
Yeah, exactly. That's just the way Apple rolls. But the other thing we can divine from, assuming, of course, that Apple does announce this thing on the 9th, is that it's for sure shipping this quarter. Shipping before Christmas for sure, as opposed to some of the comments that we've had out of.
Oh yeah, and that means this was those supply chain rumors about problems with the iWatch were just dust in the wind, because it looks like Apple's ready to roll as we predicted.
And right? You know, and I think, Brian, this totally fits in with what you have said before, which is that Apple is most likely making whatever this product is in the United States in its own facilities, and has been able to keep it completely under wraps because of that.
Yeah, John, Jeff and I, if you haven't listened to the Apple Context Machine yet, Jeff and I spent some time exploring that idea yesterday.
Right. I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes for today's show so that you can find that ACM episode.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. Otherwise, there would have been a leak somehow.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. So what we know now is that there is for sure an Apple Media event on September 9th, and that we aren't getting a big hint like we have in the past about what the event will include. All it says is, we wish we could say more. And
yeah, there was no artwork with that announcement that we could like read tea leaves in the artwork or anything like that. It was a very bland announcement. Visually.
Yes, there's not a darn thing. I would be shocked if even after the fact we could divine anything from these particular tea leaves.
Oh, someone will find a way to do it, even if they're just reaching way too far and basically having to make stuff up. Someone will do it.
The tagline is, we wish we could say more.
We wish we could say more. Yeah, there you go. So, we'll be there on September 9th. Covering the event and letting you know everything that that Apple announces, and my guess is that we will get the iPhone announcement and whatever the wearable announcement is, and for the iPhone we will get a pre-order date for that Friday, which is the 12th, and then on the 17th, which would be a Wednesday, we will get iOS 8 released, and then on Friday the 19th we'll be able to pick up iPhones in the store. And since I laid out all the dates perfectly, Apple is going to now change all of them specifically because I said that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right. So another thing that I wanted to look at today is this whole thing with the new version of Parallels. And John, you've been diving way into that.
Yeah, I've been using Parallels for years. excuse me.
All right, so while John chokes on a hairball, Parallels is a virtualization environment for your Mac, meaning that you can launch Parallels and you can run other operating systems, like other versions of OS X or Windows or Linux or several other operating systems.
Sorry about that. As soon as I started trying to talk,
Licking the cat.
Exactly. I think I've been using Parallels ever since it first came out on an Intel Mac years ago. And I've sort of grown with it and watched it evolve over the years. Lots of benchmarks have been done that suggest that it's a little faster than the competition. There seems to be a little more effort, energy into it, commitment. I've heard that Parallels employs most of the world's experts on virtualization. And it's amazing what they've been able to do with the product over the years. My reaction in the review I wrote recently was that they always seem to be able to pull a rabbit out of the hat and do things that are really cool. This time around, they focus on ease of use. For example, you can take an ISO image file and drag it to the Parallels application. And just like dragging a text file to a text editor, the Parallels application sees the ISO file, knows what to do with it. It starts the install process. And it's also smart enough to start feeding some data to the installer, for example, of Linux or Windows, so that all you have to do is type in a few things and it just starts feeding this information to the install process. So that was really cool. And then the new control panel window is a really beautiful, tidy place to launch your virtual machines, to do the configuration. And to see where your virtual machine is, because a lot of people keep their virtual machines not on their internal drive because some of them can use up so much room. So, and another feature they have this time around is that you can drag and drop a document into a, say, a Windows app that resides in your Mac dock. And so you drag this document to the app in the dock, and it says, oh, I know what that is, and it launches Windows, and then it launches the app, and then it loads your document into the Windows application. So these kinds of integrations and smoothness and features that allow you to get your work done more easily and faster with a virtual machine system are, I think, the hallmark of Parallels innovation and ability to give customers what they want. It's such a widely used product. So many people run Windows on their Macintoshes that they're always asking Parallels for extra features and cool things, and Parallels always kind of comes up with it and pulls a rabbit out of the hat and gives us what we want.
So I'm getting the impression that that you're pleased with Parallels.
I am very pleased with Parallels. And I think the bottom line is that because they're so successful in adding key features that people like, it's worth it every year to spend the $49. I mean, even if you use Windows occasionally, it's worthwhile having the latest and greatest version of Parallels, because it just every version just gets better and better and has more ease of use and features. And so my reaction is that if you're using Windows on your Mac, you want these upgrades. $49 a year is not a lot of money, considering what you get for your money in this process.
Now, one of the arguments that I have often heard against using a virtualization tool like Parallels is that you get better performance if you use Bootcamp and boot your Mac natively into Windows. And do you think that for most people they should still do that if performance is an issue? Or did you see good enough performance out of Parallels that for many people they can forget about Bootcamp now?
I think they can forget about Bootcamp. Parallels has evolved to become so efficient that partitioning your drive and being forced to be in one operating system or the other pales in comparison to the advantage and the efficiency of the modern Parallels. For most operations, it's just as fast. I'm not sure about gaming metrics and benchmarks, but we don't run Windows to play games, I don't think, too much anymore. I think mostly it's productivity and the need to run those Windows applications in a home or business environment. And so the numbers I've seen, as I recall, is that there's only a couple percent difference between booting off the hard disk and Bootcamp and running in Parallels now. It's hardly worth it. And the advantage is you have this great thing called coherence where you can, this is not a new feature this time, but it's been around a long time, but you've got this great interoperability between Windows and Mac, so you can drop files from one system into the other system's folder and have a seamless integration between the two operating systems. And having Windows running in a window on your Mac desktop, maybe even along with other operating systems, can be very helpful for development purposes too. So I've never been excited about Bootcamp.
Now, you've also you also have the new Mac Pro, the trash can style. And I'm assuming that Parallels can take advantage of every core you have in that thing. So you should be able to get like screaming fast performance regardless of what operating system you're running.
One of the new features of Parallels Desktop 10 is that they've expanded the virtual machine's ability to take advantage of cores. So as I recall, you could only take advantage of 4 cores and 8 threads before. I think you can, Parallels 10 will take advantage of up to 8 cores now with 16 threads, and also can access up to 64 gigabytes of virtual memory. So
That's pretty impressive. That's
pretty impressive, yeah. So I've been watching this product evolve and become better and better and more easy to use. We kind of take it for granted, but boy, they seem to just pull rabbit out of the hat every cycle and please me with all the new features.
If you keep saying rabbit out of the hat, I'm going to start wishing I was a baller, maybe just a little bit taller.
Well, almost the reason I say that is because it's almost like magic, some of the things that Parallels has been able to do.
All right. We are, well, we're out of time. So thank you for digging into Parallels so that we wouldn't have to. And now everyone knows that that it sounds like it's a nice upgrade. And then thanks both of you for joining me so we could talk a little bit about the upcoming media event too.
Oh, cool.
It's always fun to have both you guys on. So thank you.
See you later, Overlord.